Are you saved? What a question. Short, direct, perhaps a little existential. And maybe you've been asked this before, but maybe not. And when you hear these words, are you saved? It suggests some kind of ultimate reality, an ultimate kind of question. But to answer it presupposes so many things that it's a little surprising that people answer it so quickly and so confidently. Are you saved? Is there something I need to be saved from? Why do I need to be saved from it? What does it take to be saved? What does being saved mean for me? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for my future? And if we really think about this question and listen to it honestly, considering what it means to answer it, we are faced with this profound reality. But is it a fair question? Compare it to other short questions of three words. A question about your current condition. Are you alive? A question about who or what you are. Are you human? A question about your opinion. Are you sure? Maybe a question about your attitude. Are you willing? Or perhaps a question about your feelings. Are you sad or are you happy? All these categories, which category does are you saved fit into? Is it an identity, a condition, an opinion, an attitude, a feeling, a little bit of each? We can take a look at the examples of salvation in Scripture. The 11 apostles, are they saved? Are the first 10 saved the first time that Jesus appears, and then Thomas gets saved at that second appearance? Our St. Paul's letters tells us a little bit about salvation, and he addresses that we will face trials as a part of this being saved. But he also says that you will rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So are we saved at the moment we feel that joy, or are we saved when we are tested? And then there is the community of believers in the Acts of the Apostles. We can notice especially that last question, that last sentence, that gives us a real shot at answering this question, are you saved? And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now I asked you, are you saved? But this passage doesn't talk about people who are saved, but who were being saved. And this isn't an idle grammatical distinction. There's a real difference between an ongoing event and a complete action. A difference between a verb and an adjective, really. You could compare it to another similar contrast. You are dead versus you were dying. There's a key difference there. And this actually helps us understand Paul's explanation of salvation, that you rejoice as you attain the goal. The rejoicing is ongoing because it's while you are being saved, which is ongoing. This salvation is not a yes or no, it is a process. And what is this process? What does it mean to be in the process of being saved? We can look to that summary in that first reading, the Acts of the Apostles. Devotion to the teaching of the apostles, to community life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. So being saved is not just praying. It's not just belonging to a group of Christians. It's not just going to Mass, which is the breaking of the bread. But it also includes this devotion to the teaching of the apostles. And why is that significant? Because of what Jesus Christ tells them in the upper room. As the Father sent me, so I send you. The Father sent Jesus Christ to die and rise from the dead, to save us from our sins. So if Jesus is sending the apostles in the same way, is he sending them to die and rise for us? Not exactly, because there is only one sacrifice for sin. It's only Jesus' death that saves us. So what does Jesus mean by sending the apostles in the same way? He means for them to bring this saving sacrifice to others throughout time. Or as we put it in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. What the Father sent Jesus to do was not just to die, but to offer himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in atonement for our sins. And so when Jesus sends the apostles, he does not send them to die, necessarily, though they do that. He sends them to make this offering throughout time, because the sacrifice of the cross happened once and for all. But we, 2,000 years later, can reach through time to share in that same offering. Not by re-crucifying Jesus Christ, not merely remembering that it happened, but uniting ourselves to participating in that one eternal sacrifice. And that is why the breaking of the bread, the sacrifice of the Mass, is listed in that summary of the Christian practice. Because at Mass, the priest or the bishop, who are successors to the apostles, offer what Jesus offered, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it's for the atonement of sins. And this is why the Divine Mercy Chaplet is such a beautiful devotion, because it is another small way of participating in that eternal saving offering, that sacrifice. And we call today Divine Mercy Sunday because, despite the fact that we have 3 years of cycling through readings, this gospel passage is read on this Sunday every year. This is the gospel passage where Jesus Christ gives his apostles the power to forgive sins, the power that comes from that offering of his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And he breathes on them the Holy Spirit and gives them the ability to forgive sins. Jesus chose to give us the gift of returning to the infinite source of mercy in a very human way. And so instead of assuming God's mercy for ourselves, which is dangerous, and instead of guessing that we have been forgiven, which is frightening, we can know that we are forgiven by going to the men that God himself gave the power to forgive sins. And so when a priest says, I absolve you, no guess, no doubt, you are forgiven. And what a gift this is. And so we come back to that first question, are you saved? In truth, the only people who can answer that question with a simple yes are those already in heaven. They are saved, period. But here on earth, as those who are devoted to the apostles' teaching, to community life, to the breaking of the bread, to prayer, as Catholics, we can say with a living hope, I am being saved. And that hope, that process, is strengthened and answered every time that we go to confession, every time we approach that one offering of the Holy Eucharist. And if we persevere in our belief, if we persevere in repenting of our sins, then we do rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as we attain, while we continue to attain the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls.